بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters visiting at home with the receiver, Alhamdulillah, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we now commence the brief biography of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi was the nephew of Mawla Ilyasab rahmatullahi alayhi and also his student. Later on also becomes his son-in-law. And I mentioned last week the very close bond and attachment the uncle and nephew had. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah was born in Ramadan, 10th of Ramadan. And in his early life, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, of course, I mentioned his family was known for their piety. And his father was Hazrat Maulana Yahya Kandalvi rahmatullahi alayhi, who was very close to Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. So Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi grew up in the lap of Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. His father had taken great pains in making his tarbiyat, and inshallah we'll discuss some of those incidents which outwardly seem they were very, very painful. His father was extremely strict. Very disciplined person, Mawlana Yahya rahmatullahi alayhi, who was the student of Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi. So it is mentioned that his father took great pains in raising him, making his tarbiyah correctly, and inculcated in him the thirst for ilm, for knowledge, for taqwa, and to abstain from every type of evil. So we find that Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi had excellent qualities. From his childhood, he memorized the Quran in Majid under his respected father, and you will read in Fadail Ramadan, Fadail Quran, that his father would make him read an entire Quran every single day. And until he didn't finish his Quran, he could not play. His initial kitabs he did by his uncle, Hazrat Mawlana Ilyasab rahmatullahi alayhi. So he studied in Mazahir al-Ulum in Saharanpur. He was a very hard-working student, very dedicated. Once somebody had taken away his shoes. So for 6 months, he didn't even purchase another shoe, a pair of shoe. Why? Because he never left the madrasa. All the time, busy, engrossed in his studies. But when there was a reason for him to leave once, after 6 months, then he had to get a pair of shoes. To go to the toilet, they had sandals that was used for public use, and he would use that. After qualifying as an alim, at a very young age, then he was already appointed as an ustad in Mazahir al-Ulum, this was in Saharanpur, I mentioned about that last week. And then he gradually progressed in teaching, you'll find the kitabs that he was given, just as a beginner ustad, he was already given very high kitabs to teach. And then finally, he began to teach Bukhari Sharif. And therefore, because he was so engrossed in the science of hadith, that he became the Sheikhul Hadith. And people, when we talk about Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, among the scholars and ulama, they just say Sheikhul Hadith. Sheikhul Hadith is referred to as Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi. So he taught the first part of Bukhari Sharif 25 times. And the Sunan Abu Dawood for about 30 times. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with this great gift of learning, teaching, and serving this science of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when he was young and he was studying, he was so particular not to miss out a single hadith in the lesson. So a friend of his in the class, what they would do then, if there was a need now to go to the toilet and the lesson is on, or they have to make wudu, so he will just nudge his friend And then he would take leave and he would rush to go and to relieve himself and make wudu. In the meantime, so as not to lose out on the lesson, the other sati of the class, he'll just make up a question and then delay the ustad and ask a question so that he does not miss the lesson of hadith. Until the ustad realized what was the plan, then you say, "But don't worry, don't ask a question for nothing now. Let him go and come back." But the point here is that they were so engrossed in the studies and they would not want to miss a single lesson, especially when it came to hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, in his childhood, as I mentioned, he grew up, virtually grew up in the lap of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, and we had discussed a whole series on him. What a great personality he was, his level of taqwa, his knowledge. So it is mentioned that he would climb onto Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, and whilst he was sitting under a tree, and then he would jump on Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, and he would hug him. Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah also showed that type of muhabba for him. He was a little child, so when he would arrive, Hazrat Shaykh would just, like a small child, say, "Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." And in the same manner, Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi would respond to him with great affection and love. So, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi did his hifz by his father, and his father would make him learn his new sabak, his new lesson, revise it 100 times. 100 times. That is why they knew the Quran so well. And that is why you find that he could recite the whole Quran daily. And even whilst at old age also, when they had to read Nafil, they would read paras upon paras. In the beginning, he did most of his initial kitabs by his uncle, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali. And I mentioned that he had gone to Saharanpur. And then he had completed his studies of hadith. And his own father taught him the final year kitabs, besides one kitab, Ibn Majah, another ustad had taught him that, because that ustad was teaching for several years. And then he did his Bukhari Sharif again for a second time by his Sheikh Mawlana Khalid Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi. His relationship with other ulama of the time, as I mentioned, Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, loved him a lot. He had fond memories and he benefited from the company of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, and especially Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madi rahmatullahi alayhi. Again, a very close bond between these two. Then Mawlana Shahab al-Qadir Raipuri rahmatullahi alayhi, and of course his beloved uncle Mawlana Ilyas Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. Like that, there were many others. Then there are some commentaries on books of hadith, like there's a commentary of Bukhari Sharif al-Abwab al-Tarajim. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi had compiled these, or was he was amongst those people, or he contributed greatly towards writing these commentaries like Badlul Majood. So he helped his ustad, his sheikh, in writing these commentaries. And there came a time when he had to spend much time just seeing to the commentaries of these hadith. And all these are masterpieces. He wrote a commentary of Mu'atta Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, which is known as Awjazul Masalik. A Maliki alim, when he read this commentary, then he complimented Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi, and he was surprised that he, not even being a Maliki, he wrote such a beautiful commentary on the Mu'atta of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. There are several incidents of him going for Hajj, and how he accompanied his Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Khalid Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi on the various travels. There is an incident where Hazrat Mawlana Shah Abdul Qadir rahmatullahi was a very great buzurg, and he had mentioned that where we ended off, spiritually, where we ended off, that was the beginning of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi. So there we can understand the caliber of this personality. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi, as I mentioned, he had married twice. Of course, the first wife, after she passed away, then he remarried. So his first marriage was in the Al-Qadha, 1334 Islamic year. His mother had sent a message to Hazrat Saharanpuri, Mawlana Khalid Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi, in which she expressed her desire to see his nikah taking place in here during her lifetime. His father was late already, so she wanted her son to be married, and she wanted to see him being married. So he was then proposed to Mona, the daughter of Mona Rauful Hasan, Rahmatullah Ali, and nikah was, a date was fixed, and Mona Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali was there, Mona Ilyas Rahmatullah, other seniors that arrived, and the mahar was given. And after his first wife passed away, Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali was not interested in getting married after that. He was deeply engrossed in his work, in his imparting of knowledge, deen, and people came and advised him. He ignored every person's advice. However, finally, his uncle, Mona Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, comes to him and tells him, you must marry my daughter. So then Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah married his cousin. Mona Hussein Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah performed this nikah. So basically, this was just a very brief biography of Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali. As Isha is getting late, so we won't give too much of details. But inshallah, we'll continue each week. Some important incidents in the life of Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali. And this is a kitab, a biography of Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, very famous, known as the Abiti, in which he explains his initial tarbiyah, how his father had nurtured him. And as I said, for us to understand, Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah writes himself, at that time, because of my young age and lack of understanding, I cried a lot. And I even became angry at times. But he said, now, later on in his life, he realized the tarbiyah and why, how strict his father was. What a great advantage it was to him. And that is why he became what he became. Had his father not been so strict on his tarbiyah and let him just do as he wished, then he would not have reached this level. So a few incidents that have been mentioned. He says his father was so again strict on his tarbiyah that if he had to stand in salah by a particular person, say for Zuhar salah, and if his father sees him standing for Asr salah next to the same person, then he would reprimand him. In other words, his father did not want him to see him having any type of interaction with any person, any close relationship with any person. His job was to come for salah, finish salah, then you go back to your studies or go back home. You shouldn't be lingering around. Is there any close contact with you and that person? Why are you so close? You've got no dealings with him, you've got no business with him, you're supposed to be doing your work. So sometimes it would happen that coincidentally a man stood next to him for a Zuhr and Asr game, and the same man, the Sheikh Ramal Sufskit of his father, so before Namaz could start, and he'll just make an excuse, but he doesn't want that person to feel offended in any way. So many times he'll just hold his nose as though his nose is bleeding. He'll pretend as though his nose is bleeding, so that he goes away, and then he goes and stands somewhere else. So one of the incidents is mentioned that he says, I was about 3 or 4 years old, and I was still just started walking, and my mother had great love for me. Women generally love their children, but for the way she loved me, may Allah grant her the high rank in the hereafter. He says, I have very seldom seen any mother with so much of love for her child. At that time, she sewed a beautiful small pillow for me. It was much smaller than the one used by me today. I will not even forget what it looked like. It was beautifully decorated in gold and silver lace. Very beautiful pillow with a small child. Mother sewed him this pillow. He said, I love this pillow so much that instead of placing it under my head, I should always place it on my chest. At times, I used to keep it with me as close, tightly around my chest. So one day, my father called out to me, Zakariya, bring me a pillow. So at that moment, my love for my father rose inside me with great enthusiasm and sincerity, but the purpose of offering him my pillow, all I ask is, shall I bring you my pillow? His father replied, come here. I became very excited, and I was happy, and I rushed towards him. As I reached him, he took hold of both my arms with his left hand, and with his right hand, he gave me such a smack, that even today I experience the feeling of that smack. He says, and I don't think that I will ever forget this till my dying day. As he beat me, he said, shall I bring my pillow? Have you ever earned something which gives you the right to say that shall I bring you my pillow? Since where you are saying my, what mine? What belongs to you? So he says his father from childhood days, you see, father is showing him that nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His father is trying to show him from his infant days that listen, nothing, I must not even have a slight even an iota of pride even and claim of something belonging to me. So here his father made his tarbiyat. I mean, poor little child, you think what is wrong? Father making zulam upon him. But there was a reason behind this. Another incident he says, that I was 8 years old, and after the demise of Hazrat Gangohi Ramatulari, when my father started teaching the children in Gangoh, there were about 80 children. Amongst them, there were those learning Qaida Baghdadi in the Alif Ba, and also those learning bigger kitabs like Hidayah. He said, my father used to teach the higher students himself, and so my father himself used to teach the higher students, and those in the higher grades were responsible for teaching the grades beneath them, which meant that they had to study themselves and also teach others. My father used to lead the salah in the masjid. At the time when Zuhar salah had already begun, a little child was playing. He said, I was trying to put my hand onto a niche in the wall to hang on it, but my hand could not reach. A certain person who was a student at that time, later on he became an alim, his name was Saghir Ahmad. He was making wudu and he was a student at that time. He came from Gangoh. Later on he settled in Bombay and he was very well known for his lectures. He said, this person, out of kindness for me, he finished his wudu. While the jamaat was going on into ruku, he quickly took me, he lifted me up and made me hang from the niche. This made me become instantly very angry at his interference in my effort. He wanted to get on himself, and now this person put him on top. When the whole jamaat went to ruku, the sheikh was a small child, he says, I went behind him and I struck him on his back. This didn't really cause him any pain, but he got a shock, so he uttered a loud exclamation. Immediately after the salah, the court case started. Everyone gathered under the fig tree in the courtyard. The whole investigation was before my father. My biggest fear was, the question was, who had struck the blow and who was struck? Out of fear, no one spoke. After about 10 or 12 minutes, with no one answering, he said, well, the time for lessons is being wasted now. After class, no one will be let off for break until such time the truth comes out. Happens in our time also. Nobody is owning up. Teacher says, well, no break. The whole class will be punished. After Asr, the case resumed for the reckoning. Once again, there was no reply to my father's question. My father then said, listen, not one of you will be allowed to leave, even if it is Subah Sadiq. At that time, I was making dua in my heart that whatever should happen will happen. Why does this Saghir Ahmad not just tell the story and get done? And whatever will be, will be. Now he's causing all to be entangled in one thing. The whole story, he says, was like the day of Qiyamah will be. About 15 minutes later, the Saghir Ahmad said in low voice, that I was the one who was struck. This meant that now much of the case was settled. Thereafter, my father asked in a harsh voice, so who did it? Again, Saghir Ahmad remained silent. But when he realized that a beating was going to be given to someone, he looked in my direction and said, he did it. Greatly surprised and angry, my father looked at me and thrice repeated, he did it, he did it. At that time, my father had the habit of visiting Hazrat Gangohi Ramadurari's grave daily after Asr, and I accompanied him. I used to carry a small umbrella which was broken. It was, its handle was of wood. At the time of visiting the grave, this umbrella was in my hand. My father grabbed it from my hand and he beat me so severely that the handle broke into two places. All the time he beat me with every blow he uttered. So this is the science of your being a youngster and trying to be a good youngster. It was his opinion that in order to make a child grow into a gentleman with good character, it was the duty of the father to make sure that the father reprimands the child, rebukes the child. As the Shaykh writes, it was winter time, and although I normally wear long woolen coat at Fajr and Isha time, I was not wearing it at that time. He says, I just had one kurta on my body. Because of all the blows on my body, I found it very difficult to wear this coat. So again, it seems outwardly that his father was very, very harsh. But Mawlana Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was extremely, extremely, extremely worried about Zakariya. It is mentioned, Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali would send several letters to Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali. Bhai, I'm thinking of you. When are you coming to visit me? When are you coming to visit me? A great buzuk like that, calling him. And Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali wants to go. He really wants to go. Until, right in the end, he finally goes. Before that, he writes a letter to Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. He says, looking after Zakariya had fettered me. In other words, I was chained. Because I was making tarbiyat of my Zakariya, alhamdulillah, he has reached now a position that he no longer requires my being with him. As the Shaykh Zakariya writes, Rahmatullah Ali, when my father then left, I actually missed my father. He was gone to Mawlana Raipuri, Rahmatullah Ali, for a little while. So I wrote to him that I'm really missing you. And his father writes that alhamdulillah, now I have seen that you have reached this level of tarbiyah which you no longer require my assistance and my guidance. And I'm quite happy, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah writes, that in my father's good words about me, it gave me such hope, such happiness that my father thought so good about me. So he had mentioned that the need for the supervision of the elders is only necessary as long as one is not in close communication with Allah Ta'ala. Thereafter, that supervision is no longer necessary. Praise be to Allah that through His grace that now has been created in you. Hence, my presence and supervision is no longer required. As the Shaykh writes, I only wish that Allah Ta'ala in His merciful grace should make my father's favorable opinion and the true good opinion of other elders and friends become true in the light of His word. That I am in accordance with the opinion of my servant regarding myself. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah of course reached that maqam. There was no doubt about that. Here's a story also that Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah writes, he says, in the old madrasa, Mazahir al-Ulum, my father had his room and the toilet on top of the roof. My father was once proceeding towards his toilet and from somewhere he got the smell of kebab. So it was that kebab which Mawlana Zafar Ahmad, Rahmatullah Alayk, another very great buzurg, he was Sheikh al-Islam of Pakistan, had asked a student to bring for him after Maghrib and put it in a certain place. The student brought the kebab and left it there. So Mawlana Zafar Ahmad would take meals after Maghrib. So when he finished his Nafil Salah, then he would go and eat that kebab. Subsequently, he went and he started his nafil after the fard of Maghrib, Sunnah. Now he got engaged in Awabin. After my father relieved himself, I went to the toilet. My father had immediate doubts that I was the one who ordered the kebabs, and now I had hit upon the idea of seemingly going just to pass water, pass urine, whilst I'm actually gone to have to eat the kebab. On my return, my father immediately summoned me. He said, open your mouth, Zakariya. As I opened my mouth, he realized there was no kebab smell at all. Wait, these people talking about kebabs. Our time, smoking. And leave smoking, the person is taking drugs also. His father couldn't even see him eating kebab. In any case, as the Shaykh was innocent, as I opened my mouth, he realized there was no kebab smell at all. He asked me, whose kebab are those? I replied, I did not know. At first he spoke in a very harsh tone. Then he went to see and he found the kebab in the same place. At that time, Mawlana Zafar Ahmad Sahab used to eat with us. We all sat down to eat. As we sat down, he told one of the students, "Bhai, there are some kebabs over there, go and bring it." Only when he said that, did my father feel at ease. There's another very sad incident. Of course, sad for us. We will feel, every time I read this, I really feel the pain. But Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah's father, again, it was his tarbiyat. He says, it was about 15th of Ramadan. Understand, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, they came from the town, village Kandla. So his mother, his family, all are living there. But his father took him to Saharanpur because his father was teaching there. So he's away from his mother, he's away from his aunts, from his uncle, from his cousins, the whole family. And he's here with his father alone in the madrasa, day and night. I think a very simple life. So about 15th of Ramadan, my father asked me with love and kindness, how would you like to enjoy Eid in Kandla? With great eagerness, I said, yes. He said, good, okay, I'll send you there on the 29th of Ramadan. He said, I can still remember, I was so happy, so happy. While waiting for Eid, that every day of the next 15 days of Ramadan was Eid for me. And every night was Laylatul Qadr. As I jumped about in joy. In this way, the 15 days passed. When the 29th of Ramadan came, I was so overjoyed, as it has been the day fixed now, that I will proceed to Kandla in the company of someone. And his father was still going to remain in Saharanpur. I waited for him to say, all right, you are leaving with so and so. But on the morning of the 29th, about 10 o'clock, still seeing my excitement, my father says to me in a stern voice, enough. What do you want to go there and do? On hearing that, it was like cold water being thrown over me as the disappointment hit me. I could not cry aloud in front of him, but at the same time, I could not control the tears flowing from me. With tears flowing, I took refuge in my room, then burst out crying and wailing. May Allah forgive me. Whatever came in my mind, whatever came to my mouth, I uttered. What was the need of such false promises? Why does he, as a seemingly holy person, have to cheat me? I do not even know what kinds of promises I made in my sorrow. After all, and he says, then that day, the day of Eid, passed in extreme sorrow. It was no Eid for me. He saw my eyes red from crying and the tears, but my father said nothing. On the second day after Eid, he spoke. Zakariya, it was my desire to send you to Kandla. I intended to do so. But I did not like the joy which you showed. That excitement that you showed. Later on in life, these things are going to be detrimental for you. And therefore, his father did not send him. At that time, you can well imagine what went through me. But now, leave us, as the Sheikh himself says, now I realize the whole situation. That you may not grieve over what you missed and be joyful over what came to you. He said, I cannot remember ever wearing smart clothes in my childhood days. If any person, alhamdulillah, we saw Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah when he came to Stanger. People of South Africa was so fortunate that Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah made a whole Ramadan i'tikaf in Stanger. And Mona Yusuf Tukla Rahmatullahi Ali, may Allah for his qabad al-Noor, was instrumental in inviting Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi Ali. And of course, after istikhara, etc., the Shaykh came. And we were little young boys at the time. I still remember I just started hifz. And after Maghrib Salah, those boys who just started hifz would read there. So, the last few, Surah Fatiha till Muflihun. And then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah used to have, they had various programs in the month of Ramadan. The great, great ulama came from throughout. And at that time, Allah Ta'ala used the people of Stanger. Alhamdulillah, from that time, Allah Ta'ala still uses them in khidmat of ulama, etc. The work of Tawud and Tabligh gained momentum after Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali came to Stanger. This 40 durood that we read used to be recited by Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki Rahmatullah Ali every night after Taraweeh. And from there, the Durood Sharif, the importance of Durood Sharif came, and so many other benefits, alhamdulillah. Darum Zakariya also was also established that time as Shaykh Rahman went, and he made dua, the land, and many, many other things happened. So he says, I cannot remember that ever wearing smart clothes in my childhood days. If my mother had put some smart clothes on me before the time that I can recollect, then I do not know. So, when I was very small, when I could not remember, probably my mother gave me some smart clothes, but otherwise, from the time I can remember, I never wore any fancy clothing. And in fact, that time, every Friday, father would make me shave off my hair, because this was also regarded as adornment. So he says, Khanla is actually my home village. And when he came to Saharanpur, his mother became very ill once. And the story of her illness was such that, as the Sheikh writes, that I was 15 years old, my mother became very ill, so much so that every day looked like her last day. However, she did not pass away during that illness. She passed away much later. When my father heard of the severe illness, he thought initially that this will only last a couple of days. And he taught me that before my mother passes away, he sent me the Nukhandla. But when he sent me, he gave me so many tasks to perform, which I could not even complete in 15 or 16, hours. I had to write 100 words daily from a kitab in Arabic called Maqamat. I had to write the translation of each word using various dictionaries. Then my uncle, who was there, Ridaul Hassan, he teached me Sulam, is another kitab in Mantiq. Then I had to recite one manzil of Quran, like 7 paras, daily, and recite it to my grandmother, who herself was a hafiz of the Quran. Then 3 books in Farsi, in Persian, Gulistan, Bustan, Yusuf wa Zulekha. I had to also study that. So much things. Father kept him so occupied even when he's gone there. Because I had never worn smart clothes, my mother had a great desire to see me well dressed. But because of fear of my father, no such clothes could be made for me. But now, this fear was in her last days. And she told this desire of hers to 2 of my aunts. At that time, all my relatives were making khidmat of my mother, and to please her, whatever desire she had, therefore all of them came together, and they sewed me a nice pair of clothes. My mother promised them that if she recovered, then she'll pay them for it. They said, all of them told her, how can you say such a thing? Is he only your child? He's also our child. Anyway, in spite of everything, this beautiful set of clothes was prepared. And he said, nice pants, nice embroidered kurta, a nice turban. All the time, my relatives were studying in Aligarh, all of them wore slippers. And he says, before that, I never wore slippers. All of my life, I just wore simple shoes. So they had a special type of slippers that they used to wear that time. And the boys would like to wear it. And the Sheikh, they didn't afford it. His father never gave him that. So he said, the long story short here is that now this garment is prepared for him. Now he explains, he says, let us look at what the house was like. In those days, no matter what the situation was in other villages, ours was like this, that just inside the main gate, we had the sitting room of the men. The second gate was such that if it was closed, then all the women folk living in various houses with their own doors and windows could go from one house to another without necessarily having to wear full parda, because the men are now completely separated from them and the women are behind. The distance between the back gate and the front was quite far. All the family houses were situated within this walled family city. I imagine that this situation brought security, protection for the houses. Apparently this started at the time of 1857. 57 there was a rebellion. So that if any assault was made upon the main gate, the woman could escape through the back gate. At that same time, he says, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah remained hidden in those type of houses. So anybody came, attacked from the front, somebody could slip out very easily from the back. He says, so all this time there, everybody happy, and his new clothing is now prepared for me. Suddenly my father comes to Khandla to find out how my mother was feeling. He did not arrive at the main gate to avoid any fuss that upon his arrival. He came through the back gate, and moving past one house after another, allowing the ladies to make parda, He told all of them, he'll come later to meet them. Most of them were his mahrams. So he came along till he was opposite the house wherein my mother was lying down. I was wearing those beautiful clothes in order to show it to others. I was just going out of the door right into his path. As our eyes met, I saw him looking at me with eyes of a lion or a tiger. I was caught in his eyes like a small monkey. I stood as if there was no ground under my feet. In a very threatening tone, he called me. He said, come here. There was nothing else but that I had to obey. Within a second, that beautiful shoe, the slippers, which is on my feet, was now in his hand. He beat me on the head and my arms, my legs, while shouting, did I send you here to become a darling, to show off your clothes? Immediately the second gate was closed. All the women from the various houses came rushing forward to save me. My father warned them harshly, anyone who tries to save him will be beaten with the same shoes. Without exaggeration, as Sheikh Rahman writes, about 100 blows father gave me. He said, Alhamdulillah, it was Allah's grace that no blows were struck with the heel of the shoe, otherwise my head would have been split open. However, this beating was the best remedy for the mind. As Sheikh Rahmatullah explains, and he says that then whatever clothing it was given to somebody else or it was worn some other occasion. My respected brothers and elders, of course, so many other incidents, inshallah, next we'll continue. Purpose of mentioning these incidents, simply, of course, we should not go beat our children, no. Times have changed also, but we should make tarbiyat of our children. Be very wary, the things that we are giving them to use, the clothing that they have, the hairstyle, a very, punky hairstyle, funky hairstyle, terrible, something, you got hair here on the sides, are all shaven. The outfit, exactly like imitating the West. These type of designer brands and names and our young daughters, the type of clothing they are wearing. When they get married, then we have set for them a very high living standard. And if the husband cannot afford that, what happens in the end? It leads to a divorce. The tarbiyat of the child is so important. You and I might not understand the wisdom behind this. But if we do this in a nice way, of course, and we educate our children, there are times when we will have to be hard, but in reality we're being kind to them for the future. Nobody's saying we can't give them some good food and things like that. But if you're giving your child biryani every day, he won't appreciate biryani anymore. Then he wants more lavish food and we can't supply that lavish food. We don't spend sufficient time, quality time with our children. Let alone this school work, the madrasa work, which is fundamental. We don't even know how many paras my son, Hifzi, has done. I don't even have the time to drop my child to the madrasa. It becomes the duty of the wife. She knows how to drive. The poor woman goes for that time to leave the children. Afternoon rounds, the father doesn't do all that. The mother does all that. He doesn't even know what grade his child is, what his child is learning, who are his friends, what type of ideas, ideologies are coming to him. One alim mentioned in Johannesburg, some time back, this person comes there for Jumu'ah, and it turned out to be such that he had left the fold of Islam. But he was coming because his father had compelled him. And how the father came to know, in one day they were talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, well, I don't believe in him. Straight. I don't follow him. I don't believe in him. And the parents got a shock of their life, whereas they are pious people. So, mashallah, we are making effort on ourselves. But in this day and age, double effort has to be made on our children. Please, I'm not saying we'll spank them and hit them and be, no. But the tarbiyat has to be a very stern one, in the sense that make sure you don't spoil them, and give them all the freedom. We can see how children talk to their parents today. No respect whatsoever. In the past, a father, if he took out his cigarette and his father was coming, the old man was coming, immediately he'll quickly throw it aside out of respect for his father. We've seen our fathers, how they treated their fathers. How they would open the door for the car, make them sit properly. When they would eat also, the grandfather eats first, then the others eat. All these etiquettes, adab, are lost completely. There is no peace at home. This quarrel, this fight, the manner in which the child talks to the father, all these are signs of qiyamah. So alhamdulillah, Allah has given us tawfiq. We have heard a few waqiyas of the Shaykh Ramadan. Inshallah, next week more waqiyas talking about his character, his akhlaq, etc. Inshallah, so that we can bring this into our life. But for tonight, inshallah, see the tarbiyat of our children. Sit with them, talk to them, see what is going through their mind. Don't give them complete freedom. When they are of age and able to come to the masjid, our sons, then bring them, of course, teach them the adab, etiquettes of the masjid. You have to make the sacrifice sometime and stand on the side with them. Sunnats, such a beautiful thing of sunnats. Teach them, make mudhakar of sunnats. Ask them what they learned in madrasa. See who their friends are, where the child is going, what is he doing. We don't care about them. Saturday night, Sunday night, weekends, the holidays will come. All we do will give them the cell phone or something, let them preoccupy themselves so we can be free and we can go out with our friends. And then we ask, why is this happening? Why is that happening? We need to make this islah of ourselves and islah of our children. Allah make it easy. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A very nice dua. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Make this a daily ma'mul for the remaining of your lives. O Allah, make our family, our wives and our children, the coolness of our eyes. That when you see your son, you feel happy. Not that now, he's now taking drugs, he's drinking alcohol, or he's become a gangster, or he's got bad friends and bad habits. And now every time the teacher is complaining, and the ustad is complaining, and I go to the masjid, it's always a problem with this child now. And Allah, make us imams of the pious people. What a dua it is. Not just because pious, make us the imams of the pious people. So inshallah, we'll read this dua, and we'll see the effect of it. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك